It's the Troopany Show with your host, James Troopany.
Okay, hello and welcome to the Troopany Show. My name is James Troopany. This is my show. Today, I am in my office once again with Mr. Simon Heath.
Hello there.
Of the Shire. How are you?
I'm very well. Very well indeed. I've got my coffee. Got my non-notes.
This is amazing. We actually have coffee delivered, which isn't really fair on Mr. Alex Edwards, who is joining us today. How are you, Alex?
I'm all right. I'm just feeling very left out. I'm not part of the party. I'm not in the coffee party with the live recording.
No.
I would have brought you coffee, but to be honest with you, I have no idea where you are, apart from in a speaker box in the corner of the room.
Aren't you in Kent?
I exist in the ether.
Yeah, well, that's the best place to be, really, isn't it?
Quite possibly, indeed. It sounds like a bus stop in Sheffield, I've got to say. Because their bus stops in Sheffield are like, never edge halfway. It's like...
Mind the gap.
Right, as normal, when me and Sire are in the same room, things are going to go a bit wayward this
awry,
week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Alex is here to keep us on track.
Well, I can try.
Yeah, that's worked in the past. we today are talking about a show that all three of us were at, and that we all three of us met for the first time. Well, obviously I've met you before, but the first time we met Alex.
Yes.
And we are going to talk you through our day, and perhaps the best of days, which was Pro Wrestling Queendom. Now, we were going to be joined by Miss Chelsea Spollen of ShouldersUp.net. Unfortunately, she's had to go to the Bronx for a baby shower, which is...
not a thing.
Apparently it is. So we wish Chelsea well and hope that she can come back and join us soon, as she is an awesome, awesome analyst. And she really wanted to say how great the show was, but can't.
Well, I feel like we should just get her to record a gushing spiel, as she is wont to do, and just stick it in the middle of this episode. You could just say, and now thoughts.
We'll get her to record some lines. And Chelsea, what do you think?
Well, I totally agree with what you've just said right there, whoever it was that was speaking last.
And we just set it up on a WhatsApp recording, and
yeah,
there you
exactly.
Go. It's the fella.
Hold it up to a microphone.
No, dear. Oh, there you go. We'll see. Watch out for that later in the show.
If you've heard Chelsea already, then that happened. If not, then we didn't figure it out.
No. Yeah. We'll figure out.
Granted, I probably should have suggested it before we started recording.
Probably a good idea. One of us get on Twitter whilst we're talking about the thing before we do the thing. Right, let's get to Wrestle Queendom. Wrestle Queendom was an absolutely fantastic show. I had a wonderful day. Myself and Si set off from Scunthorpe, big Tesco's at 2:30 in the afternoon. We went on to Megabus. Shout out to Megabus. Actually, perhaps the best value for money public transport I've ever been on.
That was nicer than any train I've taken to the wrestling this year.
Yeah, we had nice big leg room and spaces.
Air conditioning.
We watched Pro Wrestling Dontaku because there were sockets.
We did. Yeah, we got the old tablet out once I'd figured out how it worked.
Yeah, and then we get to Midlands Parkway, which is a train station literally in the middle of nowhere by a power station.
Yeah.
Just go to Birmingham, turn left for a bit, and you'll find it. And Neil Morrissey was at the train station.
He was, Bob the Builder himself.
Yes. We did kind of like look at him when he looked back at us, and we were like, is that Neil Morrissey?
And is he coming to the wrestling? That's my first thought.
And mine too.
Does Neil Morrissey love the graps? That was my first question.
And then eventually we get to London, and we pop on a tube train, and we get straight to Bethnal Green, and we're outside the building at about half past six, really, wasn't it, before doors opened on a Saturday evening. Alex, how did your day start? Because I'm just wondering if it was going to be slightly different than ours.
Just a little bit. So, yeah, by the time you guys got to the venue, I'd been there for about, 7 or 8 hours already.
You'd moved
got there at 10 in the morning to so if you didn't know, I was part of the camera crew for this show, so I was at ringside throughout the entire show filming all the stuff we're going to be talking about in a bit. It was a really cool experience. Got there bright and early and spent my day untangling about 10 miles of cables and helping set everything up ready for the live stream. So this was on live iPay-per-view, which was daunting, but it turned out well, I think.
I've seen bits of it back,
and it all looked good, I think. So, yeah.
I've not heard any complaints about dropping streams or buffering or anything, which is usually the first thing you get when there's an iPay-per-view on. So.
Yeah, I think there was one or two. There was a couple of complaints about the streaming, but that was obviously nothing to do with you, Alex. It was the streaming. But for after that, everyone was fine with it. I think that was only one or two complaints. But one of the wrestling magazine, Gary, who was covering it, live tweeting it, he said there was a bit of a streaming issue, but it seemed to be sorted itself out. So, but it did seem to be well-received live and has been well-received since it appeared on EVE On Demand.
Definitely. So, yeah, it was a really cool day, actually, being at this show where, obviously, the promotion going into this was that this is the biggest women's wrestling show in European history. And so being a part of that was really cool. This was actually the first EVE show that I'd worked at. And so being around the whole sort of, they've got a really cool atmosphere with Dan and Emily Reed running things there. Really well run, really nice atmosphere, everybody gets along. And I was talking to you guys in the Twitter chat throughout the day, just sort of, oh, Chris Wolf just walked in and I'm going a bit crazy. Oh, and there's Mako Satomura just drinking a coffee, and Aja Kong just smoking 2,000 cigarettes in a row all afternoon. So yeah, those were the cool moments, seeing these people sort of in real life and getting to interact with them was really strange, but really cool. And yeah, then we get onto the show. So just before the show, we met for the first time. That was fun.
It was.
Got a nice little picture, which I'm sure will be posted somewhere, or already has been.
I will probably post it with this episode, to be honest.
Oh, I thought that had already gone up.
I don't know if it'd gone up somewhere. I know it'd been posted in our chat, because like, Chelsea seems, you all seem really happy. And I'm not, because I'm not there.
Well, we were, because it was a good day and it was a really fun show, and what we were about to be in for was really something special.
It was as well, and you're right, because it's like that week for me. Obviously, the week before, I amazingly got the second biggest story on the front page of FSM with my Aja Kong career retrospective, which was like, okay,
we had to go into Tesco's and find it.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. And then I also was working on a piece about Sami Zayn, because she's in next month's FSM. She's going to be the One to Watch column, and I got to write my first One to Watch column for FSM. So I was emailing Sami Zayn back and forth, and Charlie Morgan and a few other people to get pieces together to work on a piece for her. And then at my other magazine, at Total Wrestling Magazine, Darren, the editor there, says, who do you want to interview? And I was like, well, Chris Wolf's in the country. How about Chris Wolf? And he goes, all right then. And next thing I know, I have Chris Wolf's phone number, and I'm calling her up on a Friday afternoon. And I'm talking to her about Joshi and how cool Aja Kong is. And, you know, it was one of the best interviews I ever had. And you can read all of those in the coming months as they come out in the magazines. And it's been Joshi and wrestling, women's wrestling tastic for me, because I got to interview Sumi Siaki on... when did I interview Sumi Siaki? It was Wednesday night. And that was a brilliant, brilliant interview. And that's the female focus for next month's Total Wrestling. So... anyway, we haven't talked about this show that we've been battling on for 10 minutes. We'd best get to the show, because you guys haven't come to talk about our careers. You've talked about coming to listen to us talk about other people's careers. So
yeah,
let's start.
I don't have a career, so this is all I've got as well. So.
But you were a super fan, Si. You are
really?
The masser of UK wrestling.
Is that what I am?
You are.
The masser?
Yeah. You no idea who that is, are you? Massa is a famous sponsor in Japan who looks after all the wrestlers. And
oh.
Yes.
Okay. It's good my mind went to a completely different place.
Oh, yeah. Right. The opening match of Wrestling Eve, Wrestle Queendom. War Games, 8-man tag match. We can't say 8-man tag
thinking
match.
I've seen it written down here.
8-person tag match. Yeah. Where AD Star, Emi Sakura, Laura Di Matteo, and Rhea O'Reilly defeated Blue Nikita, Charlie Evans, Jamie Hayter, and Jayla Dark. Now, I have... I love for all of the women in this wrestling match, because they are fantastic, and to get them to see all in one place at the same time was great. The layout and the psychology of a War Games match is something very special to behold, and I hadn't seen it before live, obviously, because there's never been one in the UK as far as I know. Probably somewhere else,
yeah,
but not
like
as well.
A sweeping statement that
not as well.
Twitter,
I haven't seen anywhere else, and I don't think anyone else has. I'm not sure if anyone else has tried this or not. But it worked, and it worked really, really well. The blood feud between Jayla Dark and Rhea O'Reilly gets its payoff. Si, what did you think to this?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, I suppose on like your big shows, you kind of, a lot of promoters and bookers feel the need to just have these big multi-person matches just to get everybody on the card.
Yeah.
So you can end up with some cluster mucks.
Yes.
On cards, and there was two matches on this card that I thought might be going this way. I just like to preface this by saying that I have never watched any Eve at all before this show,
right,
live or on demand. So a lot of these women I'm seeing for the first time. Jayla Dark I'd seen before. Charlie Evans I've seen a lot of. And Laura Diamateo from her stint in Progress, sort of coming up in the feud with Ginny over there. I'd seen a lot of her. But the rest of these women, never seen or in some cases heard of them before. I'm not tapped into this scene, you see.
Yes.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was worried it was going to be a bit of a cluster, but as you say, the War Games set up where you've got everybody outside the ring. One thing I really enjoyed was at the start where just everybody trying to get hold of everybody else before the match even started. Like, nobody's even in the cage yet and there's just people mowing Alex down.
Yeah, I can tell you
ringside.
I can tell you that was the part I wasn't particularly a fan of.
You look slightly uncomfortable there. There wasn't much smiling going on.
But yeah, I've very, very much enjoyed this match. Big fan of Jamie Hayter coming out of this.
Yeah, very much so.
And just Charlie Evans can do no wrong in my eyes. It's the first time I'd seen her as a heel as well.
It was the first time I'd saw Addy Starr, and I was really impressed with her. I've heard so many good things, and I've seen her on video and stuff. And apparently that reinvigorated her career, because she was taking bookings here and there, and now she's going to have a serious crack again, as she put it. The inventor of the barefoot Lego match will ride again. So if she's got invigorated and it's really pumped a lot of people up because of this opportunity, then it's really, really cool. Alex, what are your thoughts on this match once you picked yourself up off the floor?
Yeah, so it was a really cool way to start the show, where it was basically, as Simon said, a bit of a cluster, but in a good way, where it gets the crowd going right away with just straight off the bat, they're all brawling all around the ring, everyone's going mental, I'm getting pushed over, and it was just craziness, but really fun craziness. Once they got into the ring, you started to get more of that story of the War Games match and the whole, I don't know, the complicated rules that in the end actually do make sense. We get Rhea O'Reilly doing a crossbody off the top of the cage was pretty crazy.
Yeah, there were some killer spots in this. And none of it was ridiculous, apart from Rhea, like, diving off the top of a cage. That was about the most ridiculous thing.
It was all done really well, and it was a fun match. I think one of the best things about this, for me personally, though, was seeing Emi Sakura after the show and talking to a few of the other people there and saying, like, just how much she was scared of this cage. When you're up close next to her, like if you watch this back on video, you'll see when she steps into that cage, she doesn't know what to do. She's scared.
Yeah.
She doesn't like that there's a cage around her. And that fits perfectly with her character, but it fits perfectly because it was actually true, where after the show she was like, please, no more cage match. Never cage match.
Well, I mean, no one in Japan has done cage matches since AJW, like 15, 20 years ago. They've always kind of stuck, their speciality matches stick to kind of like Hair versus Hair. And
I mean, considering the logistics that we saw firsthand during this match, I could kind of understand why.
Yes,
but I was going to say this is a testament to how good this show was. In describing our days, not one of us mentioned the fact that this show started nearly an hour and a half late.
Yeah.
And ended, well, late enough that I ended up sleeping on a hotel room floor near Monument Street rather than my originally planned accommodation for the night.
Yeah, because we were having so much fun.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it was, you know, and obviously there was no interval on this show, which for a British show is unusual.
Yeah, I'm wondering, maybe Alex can fill us in on this. I'm wondering if there was one planned originally. But
yeah, and was the cage takedown planned to be the interval?
It's sort of. So I think the whole idea was there wasn't going to be an interval because it was on iPay-per-view, and it would be just awkward to have a break in the middle of an iPay-per-view like that for your audience watching at home. There was sort of the I guess, unofficial interval at the end of this match where they were taking the cage down, where we had some, you know, the commentators talking about stuff, and everyone sort of there live was just sort of had their last chance to mill about, get to the bar before coming back for the rest of the show. So, yes and no.
Right. Fair enough. That's a reasonable answer. I mean, it's live and you can't help some things happening.
We
did it live. Yeah. So, you know, and I thought it was well handled. And what can you do, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's still a great show regardless of, you know, I'm sure if it had been a rubbish show, we'd have probably come out of it going, God, I can't believe it started late and we had to sit around. And,
yeah, but no, we were like on it and it was cool and we was all very hyped and excited.
Yes.
Especially for this next match, which was a wild card qualifying match, which would qualify people for the six-person wild card ladder match, which was going to happen next, which featured Jetta against Chris Wolf. It was a draw in 8 minutes, 10 seconds, and they both qualified, which was an interesting finish. And the special referee was Erin Angel. Erin Angel is an interesting character, and I want to watch more of her stuff. I didn't get to see her wrestle because she was refereeing, but she's cool. But I've read a bit more on her back history now, and she's really interesting.
I mean, you say you didn't get to see her wrestle, but she did lose a fall in this match, even though she was the referee.
It's true, but it was a thoroughly entertaining match. I really enjoyed this because it's two people with polar opposite styles. Because Jetta's like, if you haven't seen Jetta wrestle before, she wrestles essentially like, I'm trying to think of an old school British wrestler. I would guess Cyanide Sid Cooper is probably the best example of what she does.
She struck me as a female Zach Gibson, but yes. Coventry instead of Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah, and she's ridiculously loud. Yeah. and she learnt being loud on Brian Dixon's shows on the holiday camps. That's where she got good.
Maybe Zach Gibson's a male Jetta then.
Yes.
I should say.
Yes, but Zach's not been around as long as Jetta has. And because she has this style, it fits with anybody. And because Chris Wolf wrestles in such an individually high-speed style, she fits with anybody. So it was just really fun and entertaining because you've got two of the best entertaining styles in wrestling going head-to-head. So I thoroughly enjoyed this match. Alex, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I really did as well. It was a lot of just sort of old-school slapstick comedy in a way, which was really fun. You had the whole bit with Jetta stealing Chris Wolf's tail or stealing her wolf head, and then the whole hijinks with her ended up getting tripped over and Chris Wolf pinning her. And it was just weird, crazy comedy, but it worked really well. And it was a really fun match, which ended up with, a draw in the end with them both pinning each other, which at the time seemed strange, but it all made sense sort of in a minute.
Yeah. Si, what did you make of this match?
Yeah, I never count a show as being a really good show unless there's some classic kind of catweasel style tomfoolery on it. Right, that's what I need in my shows. I need a bit of old school camp nonsense. And I camp as in camp and also as in
camp.
Brian Dixon's camps.
Camp, yes.
I thought this was great. The bit in the middle where Jetta got Chris Wolf's wolf head stuck on her head. Couldn't see she was fighting and started wrestling the ref. And Chris Wolf counts three on the referee and celebrates with her in the middle of a match that's supposed to be still going. It was excellent. I've seen quite a bit of Chris Wolf in the last few months since she's been over, and she's just great. She's just a tiny ball of fun.
She is, and if you talk to her, she's that as well.
Yeah.
You know, she is. This month's Total Wrestling Magazine has my interview in with her, which I think is ready for this publication now, so you can buy it now. So I'm not spoiling anything when I said, like, she's like the most hilarious person to talk to because she's so happy with life.
She's just so smiley all the time.
She is, yeah. You know, she said to me that I said, "What's your ambition in your career?" And she said, "Stay alive." Fair enough.
Yep.
Yeah, I was surprised to make 16. So, so there you go. And she's awesome. What do you think of it? I already asked you, Alex, haven't I?
Hey,
it's
who
my
else
first
is here?
It's because I'm expecting Chelsea here. That's the reason why I needed a third person.
Well, this is the bit. What did you think of it, Chelsea? QVT.
There you go.
or AT, I suppose.
All right, I could just go through previous Troopany shows and then just like sniff
it. Just cobble it together.
Cobble it, yeah. And she did not boot it. Right. Next, we had the wildcard ladder match, which was 10 minutes and 18 seconds. Featured Nina Samuels, Jetta, Casey Owens, Chris Wolfe, Leah Owens, Livy Grace, and Millie McKenzie.
So we should say how the draw in the last match led into this.
Do you want to explain that?
I would love to. So Jetta and Chris Wolfe, shoulders on the mat at the same time. Referee counts three. A lot of confusion. Crowd standing around going, what? So the head of Eve,
yes, Dan and Emily yes,
reappears and announces that because it was a qualifying match, they're both in the ladder match, which is now.
Yay!
And then entrance musics happen.
Yeah,
and then we've just got another match going straight in, which I really liked. I thought that was a very good way of getting around, because there was a few injury pullouts.
Yeah, there was. It was a bit of a plague. Ginny was one, wasn't she?
And yeah.
Well, she got that power bombed by Jimmy Havoc, so.
which she somehow miraculously knew in advance.
But it was going to be sore in the morning, I guess. Yes. What did you think of this, Alex?
I thought this was a really fun match. Speaking of injury stuff, it was unfortunate with what happened to Leah Owens in this match, where she took a pretty awkward fall from a ladder where she ended up, I think it was her ankle she ended up hurting, or her knee, something in her leg.
Yeah, it was an attempted leg drop, wasn't it, off the ladder, I think, but.
Yeah, and she took a really awkward bump off of it, which was sad to see. But they managed to recover really well from it, where you could tell, I'm trying to remember who was in the ring at the time. I think it was Nina Samuels was in the ring at the time, and just completely was like, right, we're doing this now. And they pivoted straight into it, and it was as if nothing had ever happened, nothing had ever gone wrong. So I was really impressed with how well they recovered there.
Yeah.
And then this match was basically just spot, 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 crazy spot. People jump off ladders, ladders fall over, spot, spot, spot. It was just really fun. It was, again, as Si said earlier, this show had a bit of everything, where you have your crazy big cage match to start with all the people brawling all over the place. You have your comedy, and now you've got your high spot ladder match. Mm. And then we'll see what else is coming up later on. But it was just really nicely, each match had its own style to it. And each match fit really well to give everybody something to watch. So I really liked it. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, same for me. You know, I'm not a big multi-person match, and I don't necessarily like gimmick matches. But this was a well-told story, and it all fitted together. It told the whole story of what's going on in the show. I mean, you could probably say that it was maybe a little bit gimmick-heavy because you just had the War Games match to open the show. But equally, you know, the whole idea was to try and get the whole roster on the show, and some people see that as a negative, and sometimes it is, because it just drags the show down. But in this particular case, you were trying to tell a bunch of stories at the same time, which got over, because you're trying to build this to the main event. You're trying to, you know that Charlie Morgan's won the She Won, the end of her story comes today, so you got to start a bunch of new stories.
Yeah.
And you need options to pick from these new stories. Nina Samuels ends up being the story, which is a great story to tell, but you know, you need some options. The fans need options to see their favourites go into these big matches. You know, and also as well, it was surprising to see the number of kids in the audience, considering it's an adult show and it's not in any way presented as a children-friendly show.
There's a couple of kids in the ring, to be fair.
Well, yeah. Bearing in mind, like, you know, Millie McKenzie can't drink yet. Yeah. so, well, legally. It was quite a, you know, it was really interesting that it's starting to attract a different crowd than even when I first started going to Eve like a year and a bit ago. You know, I can't get into Resgal now, even if I wanted to get tickets. But the difference between a Resgal crowd and this crowd is it's bigger. There's more people there. Certainly the mix at this show, compared to any other indie show I've been to lately, there was a lot more female heavy, as you'd expect.
Yeah.
But having said that, Progress do pretty well with female fans these days.
Every show I go to is more and more, the balance is redressing in terms of gender. I tend to think, I mean, 5 years ago there'd literally be like a couple of girlfriends of some blokes who liked wrestling at the show, and that would be about it. But it's totally different now.
Yeah, so the crowd makeup was very different, and this plows into that because you've got to give everybody options. Have you got anything else to say about this match, Sly?
I was just going to say, I'd love Nina Samuels as a heel.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, she's great.
Been enjoying her brief work in progress as basically Ginny's lackey. but yeah, I really enjoyed her in this. And the only real thing I remember about this match, because again, as you say, not really my sort of match, but
yeah,
if the whole show had been this kind of match, I'd have totally tuned out and just not given a damn. But totally fine to have one of these sort of matches in the middle of this kind of show. But the end of this match, when the sort of focus was pulled from Nina Samuels actually getting the briefcase or whatever it was that was the flute flight case.
Yes.
That's what I always think. But it seems to be a British independent wrestling company thing. The briefcase is always like a little flight case for an oboe. I don't know why that is. But yeah, and my focus, I don't know about the rest of the crowd, but my focus was pulled by Millie McKenzie dragging a huge ladder over to one corner underneath the balcony. And I remember standing there thinking, why has she left that ladder over there?
Yeah,
which is something we'll come back to
in
about 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, we'll leave that for now. But yeah, and also it's like, I've been talked to Dan before about the way he books stuff and the way he thinks about things. When he's been doing analysis on the Troopenny show, and you can find those episodes back when Dan had time before his two wrestling companies exploded.
Quite literally in the case of XWS.
Yes, definitely. when you listen to him, he's very fond of, as most promoters are, glue wrestlers. And people like Jeter and Nina Samuels are glue wrestlers. You need them around. That's not to say Millie McKenzie and other people in this match aren't great, but you know, you need the older, experienced people to do that ring generalship. As Alex said, someone's injured, we need to pull this together. And Jeter and a few other people in this match, you could see moments when they were pulling things together. Because you've also got like people like Chris Wolf, who have not, they've been in multi-person matches before, but it's usually a tag match. And it's a very similar kind of thing, but you know, they've got to have this experience and people to guide them through it.
And even though Chris Wolf is somebody who's been around for a while, she's not been around in Britain for a while.
No.
So, you know, with the crowds being different and what gets a response being different, not hugely different these days. I mean, it's not like 20 years ago.
No.
Everybody watches everything now, so I suppose there's a lot more.
I think that's interesting as well when you look at, like, if you look at Stardom shows and Joshi shows generally, there is a lot more vocal crowds these days than there ever has been.
Yeah. I mean, this is true in New Japan as well.
Yeah, but again, they're reacting to different things.
Yeah.
You know, there's still awful sorts of stuff like in Hidden Meanings and things. You still get fans go ooh and ah when someone comes out with new gear or changes their colours or...
Well, it's the armbar that I always point to.
Yeah.
Just a simple, normal armbar will get an absolutely insane reaction, babies being thrown in the air in Japan. Whereas, well, 5 years ago in the US and Britain, it would just be like, transition submission, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, as well. It is just like, in fact, to be honest with you, it's been that up for a long time, because I remember watching, it was Dave Finlay versus Johnny Saint. I was watching on video not long ago. And the finish
video?
Is... On YouTube. Sorry, on YouTube. I was watching a video of them. Should have got my language right. And the match finishes, Johnny being put in an armbar by Dave Finlay, and the crowd does not react once.
No.
It's like, because Dave does an Irish whip, so he flips him into the ground and then just pulls him up on this armbar, and it's a standing armbar, well, a seated armbar, so Johnny's on all fours and Dave's pulling on his arm. And it's like, well, that's... And he does it slowly so the crowd can react to it, and they don't do anything.
No.
And then they go, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, it's kind of always been like that. So, we're now a bit more educated to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think the rise of things like MMA especially have helped with that, where when you've seen in MMA how an armbar is a legitimate finish, especially when you saw Ronda Rousey and her sort of reign of terror over...
popping elbows and shit.
Exactly. When you've seen how devastating an armbar can actually be, and the same with a lot of different holds that are used quite regularly now, they get that better reaction because people are more educated, as you said, now to how they can actually be used, how they can actually hurt, how devastating they can actually be.
Yeah.
Which that's definitely helped with just submission wrestling as a whole has become a lot. I think a lot of its popularity now is because of that.
Yeah, the triangle choke and its many variations is a good example of that. Like 5 years ago, somebody slapped on a triangle people would be going, what exactly is he doing there?
Badly applied sleeper, what are you doing?
Why are you rubbing your shin against his neck? I don't understand. but now people go crazy for that. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's interesting the way the business has developed. I mean, like, and again, like, New Japan fans understood this because that's all they watched for a long time, you know. Obviously, the British wrestling scene was based on the Wigan kind of aesthetic, but it was a lot more show-orientated, so that stuff didn't get over as much because, despite the fact it is genuinely devastating, and if you went to see a shoot fight in the 1940s in a pit just outside Warrington, that's what you'd see. People didn't understand that actually that shit hurts. Whereas now, because we have all this education from MMA and one thing or another, it does mean that this stuff gets over a lot better than it used to.
Yeah.
And you've also got great wrestlers, guys like Samoa Joe and Minoru Suzuki and all these people who've popularized this style. It helps with the education too.
Mm-hmm.
Then, speaking of shoot style wrestlers, none more shooty than this match. So this match was Kaylee Ray, who defeated, surprisingly, Meiko Satomura, who was with Emi Sakura, but it wasn't like she was managing or anything. She was just there.
She was.
She just sort of wandered down.
Can we say young girl?
if you want to slap, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, like, you know, like a young boy, but not a boy.
She was seconding her, as the books do.
Okay, yeah. All right, we'll go with that then.
Yes, she was the young books to Meiko Satomura's Kenny Omega.
I mean, don't just insult her like that.
All right. Anywho, Emmy was there, probably for translation purposes more than anything else.
Possibly.
Yes. Versus Kaylee Ray. Now, I will admit, this was perhaps the match I was looking most forward to on this particular card, along with the debut of Aja Kong.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone in that.
And to be fair, it absolutely blew me away, because I've loved Kaylee Ray's wrestling style for a very long time, and I love Meiko Satomura's everything. You know, and as everyone is well versed in the fact that I love Meiko Satomura's wrestling, she is my favorite wrestler on the planet. She is absolutely astounding. So it's a match I've always dreamed about, but Joshi politics would not allow this to happen in Japan because, well, it could. This one could happen, but they've not been. Kaylee Ray has not been in Stardom at the same time Meiko has been, and they're not really on the same level in Stardom.
No.
So the likelihood of them crossing isn't great. And if it was, it'd be a mid-card match. It wouldn't be a main event, or they wouldn't get the freedom to go.
Yeah.
So here you have Kaylee Ray, who's a main event player, Meiko Satomura, who's a main event player, in a promotion that pushes them both. So I really genuinely did not know who was going to win. Mm. They're two of my favorite wrestlers, so that's what makes it exciting. And that's how you build a draw, people. This is how it works.
Yes.
Yes.
And one of the things about Meiko Satomura and her now ever so frequent trips over here, and Maui blessed, she's not afraid to lose.
No.
Like, she will drop a fall if she feels she needs to, and I think it only makes these trips over better. Because if she'd just come over here and just torn everybody's arm out of their socket and nobody ever won against her, it'd be great for a month. And
yeah.
You'd be like, oh, it's Meiko Satomura. And then you'd be like, oh, it's Meiko Satomura winning again.
Yeah. It's the Joshi attitude, especially amongst the veterans, to how the business works, is really important. Because I was talking to Sumi Sayaki again this week, and I asked her about what's her ambition in pro wrestling, and she said, I want to make the Women of Honor title the most important women's title in the world. I want everybody who wrestles to want to come wrestle me.
Mm.
You know, and that's an attitude that you see in a lot of the matriarchs of Joshi. They want, as Meiko said in the Gaia documentary like 15 years ago, I want to give the best representation of professional wrestling possible. And sometimes that means you have to lose.
Yeah.
And this is one of those situations. And the match was just astoundingly good. What did you send us on Twitter, Alex?
When you should have been working.
Honestly, I can't remember. What did I say?
You sent a message that said, shit me.
That so pretty much sums up my thoughts.
I said, I mean, I guess you liked it then.
It was just a bit okay, wasn't it? Yeah, this match was fantastic. Everything about it was great. Just especially being up close for it, some of the strikes in this match were just crazy.
Yeah.
Especially from Meiko. And I think it was one of my fellow camera guys that said the secret to Meiko Satomura's kicks being so good is that she just kicks you.
Yeah, it's the Terry Funk left hook, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
He just reels back and hits you as hard as he can.
Yeah.
Exactly. And in this match, you definitely saw that. Some of the kicks that she landed were just brutal. And you could see Kaylee Ray just like, what the fuck? Like, she was getting hit hard. But this match just told such a great story. All based around Mako getting these submissions, Kaylee Ray breaking out, just you know, getting out of these situations, and then leading up to the end where you say Mako wasn't afraid of losing, which is definitely true, but it was done in such a clever way that both were kept strong.
Oh,
where
yeah, absolutely.
Kaylee Ray wins on like this roll up out of a submission, and the place goes crazy. Both end up looking great out of it. Both are really strong, and it was just all round a fantastic match. I think this is my favourite match on the show.
Yeah, well, for me, it's my favourite match this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it might be
mine
as well.
That.
I mean, it's like, I watched Okada versus Tanahashi like 2 days later, and it's like, this is absolutely astounding, but it's not as good as Kaylee Ray versus Mika Satomura.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I find it hard to separate stuff that I've seen on
video, yeah,
and then stuff that I've seen in person, but I mean, I've been to what, getting on for 20 shows this year already.
Yeah,
that's easily the best match I've seen all year.
Yeah, it's difficult because we watch so much wrestling between us, and it is like, and we all have our individual opinions because we all like different stuff. It's one of the reasons why our dynamic of this show works, because Si likes dad fights and Alex likes technical stuff
and mum fights.
We haven't got to that yet. So we all like different stuff, and obviously Chelsea and me like women's wrestling, and Marcus is kind of a more mainstream guy. So we do try and give you as much of our opinions, but we're not always going to agree because we just watch so much stuff and we all come from different angles. But this one was just a cut above the way it was presented. The match, the quality was so high, and it just buzzed along. It did not feel like 12-15 minutes. It felt like three.
It absolutely didn't. The only thing I've seen this year that came anywhere near close to this was David Starr versus Sabre Jr.
Right, yeah.
In a tiny, tiny little club on the outskirts of Liverpool in February.
Yeah,
and it was a shoot style exhibition match.
Right, okay.
So there was nothing on the line. It was part of a tournament night.
Yeah.
For Tetsujin.
Yeah.
Hybrid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their second show. And but it was an exhibition outside of the tournament, and they just walked out and slapped the piss out of each other for 10 minutes. I mean, just stood in the middle of the ring and just got increasingly harder and harder slaps to the face for about 10 minutes, and that was the entire match. But it kept building and built, and you could, like, and this gets back to this match. The reason that I really enjoyed that Star Sabre Jr. match was that in at least 5 or 6 parts of that match, I wondered whether somebody had maybe potatoed the other guy,
yeah,
and this had just evolved into a full-on scrap.
Yeah,
and they'd thrown the work out the window.
Yeah,
and they'd just gone, "You've properly pissed me off, and I'm going to give you some receipts." And again, during this match, a couple of times, I thought, "Oh, so." I mean, even when I think about it, I know that that wasn't the case because, I mean, Mika, she doesn't do that sort of thing.
No, these two are two of the most professional wrestlers on the planet.
Exactly, but the suspension of disbelief you get from a match like this, like a couple of times I thought, bloody hell, it's like...
Because you were tied into it. You were in this match. You were there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fully into it.
Any final thoughts on this for you, Alex?
Just what I've already said, just agreeing with you that this was just a fantastic match. Just everything about it was so well done.
By the way, if you like close matches where you want to suspend your belief, if you want to go, I think it's on the AJW streaming service. Last week, AJPW streaming service. AJW no longer exists. AJPW streaming service. Last week, Yun Akiyama, the president of All Japan Pro Wrestling, wrestled Naimichi Marufuji, the vice president of NOAH Pro Wrestling, which was described as a bit stiff. because Yun Akiyama got fired from NOAH, left NOAH after they fired Kenta Kobashi about 5 years ago, and Naimichi Marufuji has left All Japan about 10 years ago under a there's an article I'd retweeted it this morning. I might put it on the Troopany show feed, but have a read of that and have a watch of that, because that sounds one of the most fascinating professional wrestling politics matches you'll ever come across. And if we can get it reviewed, because I think it'd be really interesting to tell that story as part of the Beginner's Guide to Japan at some point in the future.
I'm sure we'll come across some point where Noah and All Japan are having a set to.
There's been so many over the last 10 years or so anyway.
Just as an addendum to this match, outside of the match itself, that I really enjoyed was the look on Chris Brooks' face from the other side of the
ring. Yeah, we've got to mention this, yeah.
When Kaylee Ray finally won with a cheeky roll-up.
Jaw-dropping.
He wasn't impressed. No. It's like, why didn't I think of that? As he sees his Fight Club Pro title disappearing into the ether.
Yeah, we should mention that, obviously, this was Progress weekend. It was Super Strong Style weekend, which I think you went to the Sunday show, didn't you?
I did go to the Sunday, yeah, yes. Day two, yeah.
So around about 8:30, half the Progress roster wandered in and took a seat at the side to come and watch proper wrestlers.
Yes. Yeah. Watching Flash Morgan Webster lose his shit throughout this entire show.
And they all marked out like Marky Mark, Mark Marks for the entire show, which was awesome to see. And watching wrestlers watch wrestlers is your favourite thing.
It is. I love it, because it's like, I feel like they're enjoying it on a level that I'm maybe not. But so to see them, like, they're not critiquing in any way. I'm going to watch some tapes and use this and use that. No, I'm just losing myself in the moment and just totally losing my mind about these great matches.
Yeah, Jimmy Havoc was live tweeting it whilst as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, Dallas.
And on that note, the whole crowd were just crazy all night long.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of the loudest crowds I've ever filmed in front of, and the reaction, especially for Meiko Satomura's entrance, was just crazy. It was deafening.
It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Okay, we move on to one of the other main draws of the evening. One of the reasons why a lot of people were in that room, especially the Japanese contingent, and there was a pretty heavy Japanese contingent, because they all sat with us.
Stood just behind us. They were quite loud.
They were. They did like this a lot. Viper wrestled Aja Kong in 9 minutes and 49 seconds. Aja Kong takes the victory in a mum fight.
Mum fight. Absolutely.
Mum fight. We have now widened the definition to mum fight.
Yes.
Coined a new term.
Yes.
Just as good as a dad fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, this was great. Just two absolute monsters just slapping the hell out of each other.
Yes.
You got the classic bouncing off the ropes and shoulder charging for a good 2 minutes at the start of the match, which I always enjoy. You've got that. I mean, that's how you always start a dad fight, isn't
Indeed,
it?
Indeed, yes,
so
yes.
This is how you've got to start a mum fight. You've got to have the come on then, you know, and the crossed arms, the unimpressed look on the face. Classic. Love it.
Yeah, it was. It was that. It was Aja Kong versus Bull Nakano, but a rephrase for the modern day with Aja Kong in it. So yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Love this match, and it's just absolutely amazing to finally see Aja Kong in the UK. I don't know how many times she will come before she calls it a day.
Can't be many, can it?
Can't be many. So if you get the chance to come see her again, make it count, because Aja is a sight to see.
Yes,
she is just as impressive as the videotapes hold her to be. She's absolutely amazing, and Viper was no slouch. She was absolutely awesome in this match too.
I mean, Viper's great. I think she can do more in the ring than Aja Kong can these days.
Yeah.
Which I think helped this match a little bit, even though you got the sort of two behemoths crashing together. Viper does have that little bit of Viper does have that little bit of extra athleticism and sort of dexterity, doesn't she?
She does, yeah.
But yeah, this was great, and I enjoyed the fact that it took sort of both of Aja Kong's finishing moves, or moves that we thought may well have finished the match, to finish Viper off. So I think even though towards the end of the match it was quite one-sided, they still protected Viper a little bit.
I would also say this is another match that can't happen in Japan, because Aja Kong will not work with Stardom because of Rossi Egawa. So, you know, you're not going to see this in Japan. This is a world-exclusive match for pro wrestling EVE, and they were very good at putting these matches together. Alex, what did you think of this?
Yeah, it was pretty much what you said. It was a mum fight. Aja Kong in person is one of the most intimidating people I've ever been around.
Are you taller than her by a good 4 inches?
That's what I said. Yes, she's shorter than I thought she would be, but still terrifying. But yeah, you can just tell there's something about her where you don't want to, you know, get on the wrong side of her. And you definitely saw that in this match. It was, yeah, the whole monster fight thing, the whole starting off with the classic shoulder blocks and then going through the big power moves. I think there was a Aja Kong hit her elbow drop at one point, which just like the ring shook. It was crazy. Yeah, it was just fun. I think I'm wondering if there was a better place to put it on the card, maybe. I think coming after Mako Satomura and Kaylee Ray, it had a lot to live up to. I think it did its job, definitely, and it managed to live up to it just because of Aja Kong being such a huge star and this match being really good in its own right. But I'm wondering if maybe if this match had gone on earlier in the show or something like that, maybe you put this before Jetta and Chris Wolf and that ladder match stuff, and that you have the ladder match separating them or something like that. I'm not sure, but this was, still really, really good stuff.
I think that's one of the difficulties if you don't have an intermission. Because if they'd have had an intermission slap bang in the middle of the show, you could have had this as the sort of first half main event.
Yeah.
Before you went into the intermission, and then maybe come out into the second part with the ladder match.
Yeah, it's something Progress have done pretty well over the last couple of years. You send them send the fans into the mission either happy or intrigued or angry for more, so you can set the drama up later on. But if you don't have that, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think there was maybe a little bit taken away from it because it had to follow that. But there again, you couldn't have had the Miko Kaylee Ray match directly before the main event.
No, because, not at all.
Because then they'd have had to follow that. The main event would have had to follow it. So,
yep, and championship should always go on last.
Yes, they should.
Indeed, and then just as a case in point, Sami Zayn did not successfully defend her Pro Wrestling Eve Heavyweight Championship. She lost to the She Won winner, the Ace of Eve, Charlie Morgan, in 20 minutes and 29 seconds of the most ridiculous wrestling match, in a good way, by the way, I should say, I've seen in a long time. Because you've seen everything. It's like the Steve Austin at the end of ECW's first One Night Stand where he says, I've seen calamity, I've seen danger, and I've damn near OD'd on violence. This is like that. Not quite as violent as an ECW show, obviously. But it is like that. You've seen everything the wrestling world has to offer, and then you put your two biggest homegrown stars onto the biggest stage they've ever been on, where literally the media of the world are watching. You know, this card was a bit different to your average indie show wrestling match, even at the York Hall, which does get a lot of coverage when Rev Pro go there or New Japan go there. You'd had photographers from papers from around the world that have been covered in the New York Times, they've been covered in Cosmo, they've been covered by different news corporations.
Yeah, Rev Pro don't get that.
No, Rev Pro don't get that. no offense, Rev Pro, you do a good job. Yeah. But you don't get covered by, you know, no. Cosmopolitan.
The paper of record.
No. So they've had all of this energy put forward, and you put your biggest two players in the main event, you give them the right canvas to tell the right story, and then they go off and have this awesome match. Because it's really hard to go on after Mako Satomura and Kaylee Ray for anyone.
Yeah.
You give that to a card or an Omega and they'll go, really? Do we have to? Can we open it? So, you know, but they did not. They did not look nervous. They came out and they owned the place. It was their place to have this match because it was the destiny to have this match at this particular time. Mm. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And there were jaw-dropping moments of drama in it. When me and you, Si, were stood looking at Charlie Morgan climbing that ladder, and we're going, she isn't, is she? Oh God, she is.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's start off with that moment.
Let's start there.
Comes back to the ladder match that we were talking about earlier on, when Millie put that huge ladder next to the balcony, and we were thinking, I wonder why she's left that there.
Yeah.
That still seems to be over there for the next three matches, and nobody's moved it. That's a bit strange. And then, about 15 minutes into this match, Charlie comes herring out of the ring, and we suddenly notice that there's a lot of trainees and referees hanging around underneath that ladder. And that's independent wrestling signal for...
Something's going to happen.
Fire. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
but, holy God, she just pelted up that ladder.
Yeah.
Right up onto the balcony.
Oh, well, I kind of figured she'd go from the ladder.
Yeah.
And then when she got to the top of the ladder and then stopped for a second for everyone to register.
A second.
And then turned around and went to the balcony. We were like, and you could hear the crowd go, oh. Yeah.
And that was that right there was the exact amount of time we had to process it. Because she just went.
Yeah.
I don't even think she turned around to look if everybody was ready to catch her.
She's on adrenaline.
Straight
so.
Off the balcony.
Yeah.
And onto essentially the entirety of the roster. And possibly some of Progress's roster.
I think some of them ran out there to give her a soft landing, yeah.
Yeah. But no, it was absolutely incredible. And I just to give this sort of a wider context in my brain, because I've never seen any Eve before. My only experience of Charlie Morgan is the stuff that she's done in Progress, which, all due respect to her, has been garbage.
Right.
I've, until this show, I had never seen a good Charlie Morgan match.
Yeah.
And it's not just that I'd seen some average ones, I've seen her be atrocious.
Right.
And I'd heard all of this talk about Charlie Morgan, how great she was and how she was the ace of Eve, and I couldn't put those two wrestlers together into one person in my brain, because the only time I'd ever seen her offense had been weak as hell, you know, wet paper bag style, and just like no presence. And I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't see how this person at the same time. I could see her and think, oh, maybe 3 years down the road, you know.
Yeah.
But I couldn't see how at the same time there could be this amazing wrestler that people were banging on about that I'd never seen. And then this same person be this wrestler that I'd seen probably 3 or 4 times and just never seen anything from. Which is why this match was so completely amazing to me.
Yeah.
Because she was fantastic in it. And I don't get... I don't understand... I will say that I haven't seen her match at Strong Style against Toni Storm. I've not seen that match yet. So it could be that the Eve Charlie Morgan turned up to that.
Yeah,
it may well have done, but I was, my mind was blown. This match was amazing. Charlie Morgan was great. I am the biggest Sami Zayn fan now. She's absolutely amazing. There's a little sequence in the middle of this match where she transitioned through about 3 or 4 different submission moves in one go, just rolling out of them and into another one. It was superb. My only wish, looking around at the end of this match, was that I was as invested as the rest of the crowd.
Right, yeah.
Because when this match finished, everybody lost their shit. And I don't get me wrong, I was on my feet for the entire show because fuck sitting down. But especially when you buy tickets as cheap as the ones we bought. And everybody was absolutely losing their mind and there was crying and there was hugging. And I just thought, I wish that I was into it like that. And it's a feeling I get at a lot of wrestling shows now, because I feel like I'm watching too much and I'm spreading myself too thin.
Yeah, yeah.
So I used to get that feeling at Progress when I was really into it, and now it's just another show that I go to.
I think that's really. Yeah.
But yeah, this match was so good that it made me want to have been to all the other matches.
I think that was the main thing in this match. The crowd was just so into literally everything that happened, every move, every hold. Just everything that happened in this match, the crowd went crazy for. And as you said, when you have a finish where you have people literally crying and hugging each other because the babyface won, you know you're on something really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as well, the way the finish was presented, the way that the roster came out to congratulate Charlie Morgan, and it's just like, it reminded me of Dusty Rhodes beating Harley Race for the title.
Like, Charlie Morgan's nan got in the ring.
Yeah,
the whole family was there.
It's just like,
it's not a British wrestling show if you don't have a nan.
Yeah,
you've got,
but not an actual nan. It's someone's nan.
Yeah.
Well, all right then. Yeah.
Okay. They're all someone's nan.
We are all someone's nan. Yes, but no, it was just it was just so gutturally emotional because Eve is. I've said this before, and when I did a piece for FSM last year. And it reminds me of so many other feminist movement things that I've seen or observed or have kind of been involved in many ways. And the way it feels like to me is like it felt like roller derby in the 90s in Texas, which I wasn't involved in, but I knew a couple of people who were from my visits there, late 90s, early 2000, and I knew how the women felt about roller derby, and it was their thing because their boyfriends were in bands or played football or in sports team, and they wanted their thing, and it was their thing. And it developed this bond which made it grow till roller derby grew out of Austin into this worldwide phenomenon. And everybody, you know, I have friends in the UK who do it and all over the country. And other things like just stuff that there's a certain attraction to it, there's an emotional attraction to it, like being a skateboarder, the Bones Brigade team of the 1980s, like Tony Hawk and Caballero and those guys. Everyone who owns a Power Peralta deck knows about them, and the whole world knows about skateboarding because of Tony Hawk and the stories that they told in videos that became legendary in these little underground circuits. And to me, Eve feels like that. It feels like a company that genuinely cares about what the fans want and genuinely cares about what the people want, and it becomes this organization that's a bunch of emotions from a bunch of friends who are hanging out and having a good time. And it feels a bit like Progress used to do, not so much anymore.
Yeah,
not that that's knock on Progress, it's not their fault.
No,
but it, because Progress has got bigger.
Yeah,
and
it's like at the height of the Osprey Havoc.
Yeah, yeah,
that storyline, I think that was sort of like the peak in terms of I agree with you. I think the difference being, and this is not before everybody on Twitter starts shouting at me, this is not to take anything away from me, but I think the things that you were describing sort of existed in their own little bubble.
Yes.
I wonder if, obviously it's a great achievement for them to run York Hall, but this is still part of the bigger bubble of British wrestling as a whole.
Yeah.
Even though there's this great women's wrestling going on
within the industry.
Separate to that. But I wonder if, because like roller derby and that sort of thing, they weren't part of some larger whole, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Whereas there's a huge bubble at the minute in Britress.
Yeah.
And it's great now that a lot of the women coming through have got the opportunities to go around and wrestle. But if it was just Eve,
which for a long while it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, you couldn't, in their first run, they could get so far, but with this second run they can go further.
Yeah, and I it's just because Eve aren't in a position to put on as many shows as they would need to do for the girls they've got working for them to get as good as they are now.
Yeah,
you know, they need to have those other companies to go and wrestle for, and they need to be able to go to Japan and wherever else get to the point where you can have a match like this.
Repetition is 5 nights a week. I mean, and Sammy Jane obviously and Charlie Morgan, who are both, I think they're both 8-year pros. So,
yeah,
possibly, yeah, sir. Yeah. Well, Charlie, because I've interviewed both of them. So, yeah, they are 8-year pros. So they've got this experience to be main eventers. Yeah. And you know, Charlie Morgan's career, essentially, she was shipped off to France to go put somebody over for 6 years. That was it. She was the mechanic that got everybody over in the French GW catch. Global Wrestling Catch. Anyway, that'll do. But yeah, you know what I mean? She had these little promotions, and that's what that was her day job for a long while. So she's wrestled in front of so many crowds. She knows so many different people. She knows how to make a crowd work for her with the style she's got. Sammy Jane's the same, but just came from a different place and a different thing. So that's, to me, how it is. It's like, it is like these, you're right in the sense of it's a small bubble, because crowds that go to Eve aren't necessarily the same crowds that go anywhere else.
No, I mean, I saw not as many people I recognize at the Eve show that I would normally expect to. But then again, I think same could be said if I went to a Rev Pro show.
Yeah.
You know, because
there is a crossover, about 500 fans that go to everything.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean they go to everything.
No, I mean, you couldn't.
No.
Which is the great thing about British wrestling right now.
You
literally couldn't go to see everything. I know people who have tried.
Bolton on a Thursday. Yeah.
Well, no, Wigan on a on a Sunday.
Wigan on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Todd Morden.
Watching Shoot Fighting on a Sunday morning in Wigan. There
absolutely.
You go. That's what you should be doing. Alex, what are your thoughts on this main event as the person that shot it?
It was an experience. yeah, as I said earlier, the crowd being so into it made it put it on another level. But that being said, there was still some, it was still a really good match in its own right. There was just some really cool stuff, like some cool storytelling stuff in there. There was one moment where, and it was towards the end of the match, where Charlie Morgan got up to the top and it looked like she was hitting a swanton or something. Yeah. But Sami Zayn caught her into an armbar.
Yeah.
And that just blew my mind. Like, that came absolutely out of nowhere. And it was so perfectly done that the transition was so flawless that I just almost just dropped my camera and was like cheering right there at ringside.
But how just to interrupt you, how hard is it to separate Mark Alex from cameraman Alex?
It's a bit of a weird one. You sort of have to turn your brain off a bit and just sort of just focus on, right, I'm not watching a wrestling match. I'm going to watch people move through this tiny screen and I'm just going to follow them around. And yeah. But then when you see some of the stuff like you saw on this show, you can't help it. Like, I'm sure if you watch closely in the background of some of the shots you'll see on this show, you'll see just my face like, oh my God.
I sort of feel like you can't separate yourself completely, can you? Because you almost have, I mean, you have to know what people who are invested as you are in it want to see on screen.
Exactly. So, yeah. So part of it is just thinking, if I was watching this at home right now, what would I want to see? Like, in this submission hold, what would I want to be looking at? Mm. And what story are we trying to tell? So yeah, it's an interesting one, but it can be hard, but you get used to it and you learn to keep that marking out inside your head until after the show where you get to come and do it like this.
Or tweet it to us whilst we're watching.
Yeah. Or tweet it to you. But yeah, this match was just really, really well done storytelling. I mean, like Sai, I've not really seen too much Eve before this, so the whole story leading up to this match, I'm not too familiar with, but they did so well in this match putting across the story they were trying to tell that I was invested right from the start, and I got more and more invested as it went on, to the point where at the end when Charlie Morgan won, I myself was, you know, caught up in the sort of the enthusiasm and the happiness of everyone else who knew the whole story because they'd done such a good job at telling it in the match. But yeah, I just thought I really like this match, and it was a really good way to end the show. It's like you said earlier about this being Eve's sort of obviously the biggest show they've done and all of the media attention around it. This was built up as a celebration of everything to do with pro wrestling Eve, everything to do with women's wrestling, and in a way everything to do with just wrestling as a whole, where you have these fantastic wrestlers, women wrestlers, whatever, on this show doing some amazing stuff, getting these amazing reactions, and it's really just showing the best of, as we said, every style as well. And then to complete, like, my mind's all over the place thinking about this match because it was that good. So to jump completely randomly to something else, back to the balcony dive part. Yeah, that was crazy. Like, obviously, for that bit, as camera guys, we had to run out there into the crowd to be able to film it.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
So it was just mental. I mean, originally, I think it was only meant to be a crossbody she did, but she ended up doing a full, like, swanton bomb off the balcony that looked amazing. Yeah, just everything about this match. Really, really enjoyed it. Really well done. And, yeah, just perfect storytelling with the babyface winning in the end. It was really sort of old-school storytelling.
Yeah, there's a reason why the Dusty Rhodes comparison at end is she's Eve's dream. She is. Mm. Yeah, she's perfect for Eve. She's the perfect babyface champion to have in that company at this time.
Comparison works really well for my experience as well, because I feel like Progress Charlie Morgan is polka dot Dusty Rhodes.
There you go. See? Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, can't complain about that.
But this show as a whole, I said I didn't see that many people that I knew at this show, but there was still a core few of the guys that I see at every single show who travel all over.
Yeah.
And every single one of them I've spoken to have said this is the best show they've seen all year.
Yeah.
And we're talking about guys who are probably on their 40th, 50th show by now. Like, I don't think I've spoken to a single person who hasn't said that this is their favourite show that they've seen all year.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. And you should go watch it on demand. To round out the story of our days, well, like you said, you went and crashed on somebody's hotel room floor.
Yes, because by this time it was about 11:30, and my original plan would have meant me getting to where I was going at about 2 a.m, so I thought, nah.
You left before I did. I said goodbye to Alex and a couple of other people I knew. I had apparently had a bunch of people who I knew who were there, but I didn't have time to go see, because we arrived just pretty much as the show kind of started. We was hanging out for a bit, and I saw a couple of people I knew, and then the show started, and then at the end of the show it was like, I'm gonna have to go.
Yeah.
So I shot across to Victoria Station and ended up at Victoria Bus Station at 1:15 a.m. Not something to recommend. There's nice Greggs there, though.
Oh, well.
There's nothing else.
No.
So I had a yum yum and a latte, which is the best thing to have when you're trying to fall asleep on a bus. And then I was sorely disappointed by the efforts of National Express to get me there, get me home. Well, not home. I had to go to a christening in Stockport at 10:45 on Sunday morning.
People have got to stop having babies. It's really interfering with
sling watching.
Yeah.
So I got like a 3-hour ride to Birmingham, trying to get sleep, and the dude next to me on the bus had the best attempt. Like, we've all kind of like got one double seat each, so he lays down with his head on the armrest and his feet up against the glass to try and get some sleep.
Nice
attempt. And he had his hoodie closed up over his eyes, and I kept nodding off, but I'd wake up because the bus would jar. And then 10 minutes later, suddenly we were in Birmingham. And then it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm in Birmingham. And the only place open is the Rock Club next door, which apparently runs 24 hours a day at the weekend, because they were open. I went and had a look around the ball ring because there was nothing else to do for 2 hours. And then eventually I arrived in Stockport, and my wonderful partner, Sophie, had my suit waiting for me. And I got changed in Stockport Station, and then eventually got to this here christening, which was nice.
Well, you see, I feel like I've got you beat on in terms of terrible things that happened. Because the hotel that I ended up staying at was slap bang in the middle of the financial district in London. Four-star hotel, very nice.
Very nice,
glad
yes.
I didn't have to pay for it.
Right.
But very, very nice. But there was a Wetherspoons next door.
Right.
And it was one of them posh Wetherspoons.
Okay.
They've emptied out a huge old hotel or a bank or something like that. So we walked past that at the night, and we were like, breakfast in there tomorrow, lads, sorted, brilliant. Got out in the morning. It's the financial district of London, isn't it? Nothing opens on a weekend, Monday to Friday.
Oh,
so the
no.
Wetherspoons was closed, which for a British wrestling fan
is just wrong.
I mean, that's disgusting to me.
What was the rest of your weekend like, Alex?
Busy. As I said earlier, I got to this show at about 10 a.m, had the whole day setting up and doing the show and all that stuff. Show finished about, 11:30. We packed everything down, and the atmosphere after the show, just on an aside note, was really cool. Everyone was so happy with how everything had gone. There was just, everyone was so enthusiastic about the show, and everyone was sort of on a bit of a high from it, which is really, it's a nice thing to have after a wrestling show, where sometimes doing them, if it hasn't been the best, sometimes people can be a bit just sort of like, oh, well, that was okay, it could have gone better, or people are like disappointed in how certain things went. With this, everybody was so happy with how everything had gone. So that was really cool. We got out of there, I think it was about 1 a.m, got some ice cream, because why not? And I get home about 2:30. I sleep for about 3 hours, and then I get up and I drive to Hull to film NGW. I had a long weekend of driving up and down the country filming wrestling shows.
So just to get that straight, Si, who used to live in Manchester, was in London for the day, where Alex lives.
Yeah.
Alex had to drive past my house to get to where he was working.
Yeah.
And I was in Stockport, which is where you used to live.
Yeah, and also where I was last Sunday.
Yes. So essentially, we were all in the wrong place.
Yeah,
somehow we all got a bit mixed up.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll also be back in Manchester in 12 hours for more wrestling.
Hey! And that was our weekend, and good God, what a weekend it was. For me, it really started interviewing Sammy Jane and talking to Charlie Morgan and catching up with Dan Reed and a few other people as I went through the week, and then Chris Wolfe. So I had like a week's build-up to this massive event in my life. Because that's why I do consider some wrestling shows massive events in my life. And it is because I've spent so much time with the EVE crew, not in person, but talking to them online and writing stories about them. And like, they have given me so much as far as like stuff to write about for different magazines, and for, you know, their presence has been a large part of what I do as a professional wrestling journalist. So it was absolutely amazing for me to see them. And obviously, Alex, for you, it's another professional achievement because you got to work on an all-women's show, the biggest one in European history.
Yeah, it was definitely an achievement. It's one of the highlights of all of the sort of the wrestling work I've done so far. This was definitely up there among the biggest shows I filmed in terms of crowd size, in terms of the actual sort of names on the card, and definitely in terms of sort of the historic nature of this show. This was, you know, right up there among the best that I've ever filmed.
What does it mean to you, Si, as a fan?
It's another in a long list of wrestling shows that I go to see how long I can last until my overdraft runs out. I mean, like I say, I'm not one of these people who goes to every show going, but I do go to a lot of wrestling. I mean, I was at Future Shock last weekend. Tomorrow is Progress's big Manchester show, and I'm going to be there for that. And then IPW in Manchester on Tuesday as well. I've got a few more lined up in the meantime, but I haven't seen anything all year that was as good as this show from top to bottom. Every show I've been to, and I've been to some really, really great ones and some really, really fun ones. The Progress show the second day of Super Strong Style was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything about it, and I wasn't that drunk. But it was more the day out that I enjoyed with that and getting to see everyone. But this was a totally different experience. This was just about the in-ring for me, because no idea about any of the storylines. Hadn't seen any of the women before much, apart from the obvious. But every single match on this show was good or great or fantastic or life-affirming. There was nothing below that scale, and that is very hard to do, especially on a big show where you're pressured to get all your, you know, all your roster on the show, to give them that exposure, especially in the case of having all the media circus around it. And yeah, I think just an amazingly well done show, and a credit to all involved, even Alex.
There you go. Thank you, Alex.
Thank me for all of this great wrestling.
Although, to be fair, I've not watched it on demand because I was there, so I don't really know whether you did any good.
Oh, don't mind.
I've seen some gifs and I'm going like, Alex shot that.
All I know of your work is that you insisted on standing directly in front of me for the whole show.
That's why I'm there, just to get in people's way.
I'm gesticulating towards the speaker cabinet right now.
This is brilliant radio, Si. So if you don't know, because our layout is that Alex is behind my head in a speaker coming out, and it does actually sound like he's in the room with us.
Yeah. Just in the box.
Yes, in your box, Alex. Well, thank you indeed, Alex, but also thank you to all those wrestlers that gave us such a wonderful afternoon, and to Dan and Emily Reed for being awesome. And Emily's new haircut is fantastic. We couldn't get through the entire podcast without mentioning hair. We have been challenged to do an entire podcast based around hair by our good friend Christy from Wrestling Sexism. So maybe if we can figure out how to do it, Marcus has some ideas, so we're going to go from there.
I could go 20 minutes on what I imagine is underneath various Lucha Libre masks.
There you go. Well, actually, the challenge was discuss the haircuts of Los Ignorables de Japón.
Well, I've already talked about my Bushi Adventure Time theory.
So there you go.
I'm sure we can expand on that.
So that's possibly our next episode after we've looked at Best of Super Juniors. I would like to thank Mr. Simon Heath for joining us today in the office with me to discuss Pro Wrestling EVE Wrestle Queendom.
Thank you for having me once again.
You can find him at Butlin's Club on the Twitter there. Anything else you'd like to plug at this moment in time?
No.
Okay. And that's the reason why I added you there. Hiya. I'd like to thank Mr. Alex Edwards for his time today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And we will see you next week. We'll be looking at Best of Super Juniors, part one, possibly.
Of an indeterminate number of parts.
Yes, until it's all finished. Thank you very much for listening today. You can find us at Troopany Show on the... I'll start again. You can find us at Troopany Show on Twitter. You can find Alex, who I mentioned, Alex_Edwards on Twitter. You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can find us on Patreon. You can find us on Facebook. Please support and pledge to make us be free for everyone forever. Take care, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.